Good to see some sunshine, isn't it? Thank the Lord for good sunshiny days in Texas. It won't be long. It'll be hotter than we want it to be, won't it? We'll be fussing about the heat. It was 48 degrees, I think, at our house today. I thought maybe it was going to snow out there. But anyway, it's good to see you here in the house of the Lord. Take your Bible. I hope you have your textbook with you. And we're in a series in Sunday school, Listening to God. Listening to God. And I mentioned to you last week a good reference book, a book that you would enjoy in connection with this, is written by Dr. Charles Stanley, and it's entitled How to Listen to God. It's a very good, very practical book. And of course, he uses different translations. We don't endorse that, but you don't necessarily have to throw the baby out with the washwater and all that. Some good material there, and I hope it. If you're interested in that, you can get one of those. Last week, we studied God is still talking. God is still talking. Let's go to 1 Corinthians today, the second chapter. And I'll review very quickly with you last week's lesson. And if you were not here last week and you didn't get an outline lesson, if you will see my wife at the close of Sunday school, she'll give you one. If you wait till next week, we're going to throw all the rest of them away. So if you want it today, no, we'll have them and hold them. But if you did not get your outline last week and you want that, then see her. She'll be available there at the back after Sunday school. And you can get that. And we'll do that each week if people miss. So we'll have those available. Now, last week we talked about the fact that God is still talking, and we dealt with why God speaks today. Why does God still speak today? He loves us as much as he loved Old Testament and New Testament saints, so he's still speaking. He loved them in the early Bible days. He loved them in the Old Testament, the early New Testament days in the Old Testament, and so God still wants to speak to us. He loves us. Do you understand today that God loves you? A lot of people have a hard time with that, but I'm telling you, God loves you. You say, well, I can understand he loves the preacher, he loves somebody else. No, he loves you. God really loves you. And God wants to communicate to us. And then we need his definite and deliberate direction. I need that in my life. How about you? His definite direction and his deliberate direction. I want to know what God wants me to do, and then I want to do what God wants me to do. And then we need comfort and assurance. We need that, and we can only get that from God, comfort and assurance. And then he wants us to know him intimately. He wants us to know him better. This is last week's outline now, so we'll get to today's in just a moment. I'm just reviewing with you. Secondly, how God spoke in Old Testament, in the early New Testament days. How did God speak? One, direct revelation. God spoke in direct revelation. That's how he talked to Abraham, told him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. He spoke in dreams, for instance, to Daniel. He spoke in the written words. He gave the Ten Commandments. And he also audibly spoke to Saul. And Saul, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He spoke to him directly. And then he spoke through the prophets. And we mentioned how you know a prophet is a real prophet of God. And in the Old Testament days, it was because if they made a short-term prophecy and a long-term prophecy, and the short-term prophecy did not come true, you knew they were false prophets. And that would eventually, it would expose them. But a real prophet would always be accurate, exactly right on, whether it was short-term or long-term prophecy. And then circumstances like Gideon, the fleece. And then angels. God used angels to speak to Mary and Joseph. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit, the person, spoke in the Old Testament also. And he spoke to Paul in Acts 16 when he told them not to go to a certain area. He said, no, I don't want you to go there. I want you to go somewhere else. How did Paul know that? The Holy Spirit who indwelled him told him that. How God speaks today, and we know that God wants us to hear from him today four methods today. Primarily, one is the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit never contradicts the Bible. And secondly, there's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't speak audibly to us, but He speaks in our spirit. It's a spiritual thing. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit. Remember, we have a body, soul, and spirit. We're trichotomatic. And we have a spirit. And so the Holy Spirit lives in us and speaks and communicates with our spirit. It's more than your conscience. Don't let your conscience be your guide. You might get in trouble. But it's the Holy Spirit who speaks to us inside. And then other people. Many times God uses other people to speak to us, to warn us, to help us, to encourage us. God does that through fellow Christians. That's why we need to be careful what we say to other people and what kind of advice we give them. It has to be biblical advice. And then many times it's circumstances, tragedies and problems that come. And so we are challenged with all of that. Now, today, God's purpose in speaking to us. Look at 2 Corinthians 2, beginning with verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, think about your eye there, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, think about hearing, your ear, neither have entered into the heart of man, our heart, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, if you just stop right there, you say, wow, we're just not going to get much out of that. We're not going to learn much. God says, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, and heart hadn't experienced it. But I like that conjunction there that tells us in verse 9, but as it is written, he says, but God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his what? Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. The things that the eye needs to see and the ear needs to hear and our heart needs to experience, God has revealed those to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is God, and he knows the Father's will, and so he searches the deep things of the Father. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? See, the only person who really knows me is me and my spirit. And you're the only person who really knows you, you and your spirit. Everybody may have an opinion, or may, but you know what's going on inside of you, your spirit. And so you can speak to that. And so the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in the heart of the Father, God the Father. God the Holy Spirit knows that. And so he, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God, he knows. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Notice that we might know, all right? We ought to know, we should know the things that God wants us to know. Which things also we speak, Paul says, not in words, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul says, I'm speaking to you about these spiritual things the Holy Spirit has revealed. And then he says about the unsaved person, verse 14, but the natural man, the unsaved person, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. So, God's purpose in speaking to us, God does not want to engage in small talk. We had some small talk this morning here at the church. How you doing? Okay. A lot of us lied about that, didn't we? So, you know, I just said, for the shape I'm in, I'm doing pretty good. But we say, how about the sunshine and the weather's better? Well, it's cold this morning, isn't it? That's small talk. We do it, but it's not of vital importance and great depth. It's just small talk, and it's usually socially done. It's to be polite, and usually it's fairly unimportant. But what God says, would you agree with me, is important? I saw four heads nod. You know, I think you would agree with me. What God says is important. Very, very important. So he speaks exactly what he wants said. He speaks clearly what he wants said. And he has reasons for speaking to us, objectives. God speaks to us for a reason. And what are those purposes in God speaking to us? Well, number one, that we may comprehend the truth. That we may comprehend the truth. That's in your outline now, if you have that. He wants us to understand. If we don't hear God, whose fault is it? It's our fault. Usually, if we don't hear what God's saying, is something wrong in our life, is something there that is hindering our hearing what God wants to say to us. And that happens. Something in our life like that. I remember when I first started preaching, and young preacher and all, and Dad would come, especially in my first church, and he would just sit there like this out in the auditorium. I thought, Dad doesn't like my preaching. And I was upset about it, but I didn't want to ask him about it. And I thought, well, he just thinks I'm not a good preacher. And he'd come and just sit there like that. Finally, one day, I was preaching, and he smiled, nodded, and said, amen. And I thought, well, this message is not as good as the ones I've been preaching. I wonder what the deal is. And I'd ask Mama about it. She said, oh, he got a hearing aid. I thought, and you know, so he wasn't hearing. Something was hindering him from hearing. But when he got his hearing aid, he thought I was a great preacher, you know, or a pretty good preacher anyway. And so that was good. But a lot of times we need a spiritual hearing aid. We have something in our life, maybe sin, maybe an attitude, maybe we're encumbered with too many other things, whatever it may be. We're not hearing God. We're not listening to God. And we have to check that out because God wants us to hear him. All of us as believers, thank God, have a divine helper. Did you know you had a divine helper today? And it's not Benny Hinn. Amen? IRS wants to talk to him. But the divine helper is the Holy Spirit. Now get that. Some of you, right over your head for years. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. He is not an influence. He is a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a spiritual person who indwells every believer. And so we've already learned that the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. He knows the mind of God. And so he receives God's truth, and then he communicates that truth to our spirits. The Holy Spirit wants to be very active in our life, to lead us, to communicate. So we have God and the Holy Spirit, who knows the heart and mind of God the Father, and then he speaks to my spirit. And of course, an unbeliever, verse 14 says, cannot understand that, but we should and we ought to understand what God is saying to us today, and we should be keenly sensitive every day of our lives to what God wants to say to us. Now, there are three areas he wants us to understand. I want to mention. One of them is he wants us to know the truth about himself. God wants us to know the truth about himself. What a mighty God we serve, amen? What a mighty God we serve. We just cannot comprehend the greatness of God, but he wants us to know the truth and grasp who he is. We need to know about his majesty. We talk about eagles flying around trees and say, isn't that majestic? That's nothing. God's majestic. And God is a higher being than any being anywhere that exists. So God is majestic. He's far above all beings and all creation. That's God. He wants us to know his majesty. And his majesty demands that I give him praise. And I want to give him praise. And he wants us to know about his power. You know, God has all power, doesn't he? He's omnipotent. He has all power. There's nothing God can't do. Somebody said, well, can God make a rock big enough that he can't lift? God's not fooling around with that kind of silly stuff. God's nature wouldn't allow that anyway. But God can do anything God wants to do. How many of you believe God is all powerful today? Say amen.
I mean, he has all power. He can heal people. He can do anything he wants to do. God can do that. And so he wants us to know about his power and about his love. I'm glad his love is unconditional. It's through Jesus. It never dies. Height nor depth nor principalities nor power nor things above or things below. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Absolute nothing. God's love is an unbelievable love. And his holiness. We have to remember God is holy. Now, God allowed some things in Paul's life that he might know him. Paul had some trials and troubles. And those things, Paul said, that God's ultimate aim, and God told him, was that you might know me. Paul said that I might know him. Now, was Paul already saved? Yes. Did he know him as Savior? Yes. But he needed to know him like all of us do, very intimately. Intimately, like a husband and wife, like mother and daughter, like father and son. God wants us to know him intimately, not some force way off somewhere who's not even concerned with us, but a God who loves us. He wants us to know him intimately and walk with him that way. And that was what God said to Paul. This is why I let these problems happen in your life, that you might know me. And Paul said that I might know God, that I might know him. Now, Paul knew Jesus as deliverer from the Philippian jail. He knew him as comforter while he was in jail. He knew him as the forgiver of his shameless and shameful past. He knew him as healer on the Isle of Patmos when the snake bit him. He knew him as his guide in his missionary journeys. Paul really knew Jesus, didn't he? And we have the same privileges. We need to know him in the same way. So he wants us to know the truth about himself. And then he wants us to know the truth about ourselves. God still speaks, so we'll know the truth about ourselves. He wants us to know the truth about ourselves and our position. We need to remember who we are today in Christ. We are in Christ. If you're saved, you're in Christ. The day you got saved, you were placed into the body of Christ. So that's a pretty safe place to be, isn't it? I am in Christ today. I'm safe in Jesus. And we have to remember that's a great and powerful position. And that's why we can reckon ourselves dead to the power of sin, because we died with Christ and we were buried with Christ and we arose with Christ and we are in Christ today. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, Christ is, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, all of those different things. So our position in Christ. He wants us to remember that, and he communicates that to us. And then our supernatural privileges. We have supernatural privileges. We have the privilege of knowing his wisdom. God wants to give us his wisdom. He's perfect in his wisdom, and also in sanctification. That's a big word a lot of Baptists don't understand, but it simply means our growing in the Lord, our becoming more like Jesus. When we get saved, we are positionally sanctified. We're placed into the body of Christ, all right? We're positionally sanctified. And then now we are progressively growing, hopefully, to be more like the Lord. Progressive sanctification. And then finally we wind up in ultimate sanctification where we're like Jesus, and that's when we get to heaven, all right? So we have the privilege of growing in the Lord, being sanctified, set apart unto him, and growing unto the Lord. And we have all the privileges of being in Christ, the supernatural privileges, answered prayers, and many, many other things. If you go to your doctor, you'll see on his wall a certification, and it's from some medical school somewhere. And in it, it says something like this: all the honors and privileges appertaining thereunto. That means he can charge you what he wants to and tell you, come back, see me next month, and you're still sick, and he'll say, try this a while, and then try that. Those are the opportunities and all of those privileges, you know, that the doctor has because he has that sheet of paper. But we have great privileges, don't we? Why? Because we're in Christ, and we have supernatural privileges. Most of us live in the natural realm. We need to live in the supernatural realm. That's where we pray and see God do some marvelous, wonderful things. And then he wants us to know the truth about other people. And God has made other people. They are his creation. They are his chosen instruments that God will use in our life. And he gives us people that give us unconditional love to help us out. And a friend is somebody, a real friend is somebody you can pour your heart out to, and they're not going to criticize you or down you. They're going to help you and love you through it all. God wants us to know that he has placed us there to help other people, and he has other people there to help us. The truth about other people. Now, there's passive listening and aggressive listening. God is speaking. He's still speaking today, and he has a reason for speaking, some of which we've mentioned. But we have passive listening and aggressive listening. We need to have aggressive listeners in our church. You in this class need to be an aggressive listener. If you're on strong medication, makes you sleepy, you need to drink a little more coffee before you come to Sunday school class. But in all seriousness, God wants us to be aggressive listeners. And we need to carefully seek to hear what God's saying. I'm not here today to entertain you. I'm here to say something God's told me to say to you to help you to learn that, to help you out in your progressive sanctification and in your life. And so that's why I believe in these classes and in preaching, when Brother Gillett's preaching, that we should take notes and learn and take them home, not just throw them in the back of the car, throw them in the garbage can. Aggressive listener is going to take notes. An aggressive listener is going to go take those notes and study those notes. They'll have an open Bible. Some people don't even bring a Bible to Sunday school or preaching. That's a shame. You say, well, I've got it on my phone. Well, okay, that's good. I have it on my phone too, but I still like to carry this book. But if you got it on your phone, that's all right. But have a Bible. Have it open. Have your pen ready in church, in Sunday school. Take notes. Add notes to the notes you already have. Take them home and study them. You see, Bible study, we should be all ears and inquisitive. What does that mean? And follow up. If you don't quite understand it, follow it up and ask questions. Ask me later on about it. That's all right. And then go and have your personal devotions. When you have your personal devotions, you're reading the Bible. And I have a hunch that some of you don't read your Bible regularly. I hope you do. And this class would probably be excelling compared to other classes. But everybody in this building, in this class, ought to read your Bible regularly. On purpose. It should be a time of your devotions. And while you're doing that, take notes. What is God saying to you? What book are you reading through right now? Well, what is God saying to you? Get you a composition book. Write it down. Outline it. Go back over it. And then you have that. And it's good to have personal devotions and know that. If we're going to do that, we need to have less time sometimes with our hobbies, less time watching television. We spend too many hours watching television. And it's all fake anyway. It's all make-believe. I don't care whether it's Matt Dillon or Bonanza or whoever it is. We all like those old programs. But we need to get rid of some of that junk and even some of the news we watch all the time that keeps us all fired up and mad at everybody, and just get in the Word of God and the notes we're taking and study the Word of God. Less sports, less television, less all of that. And then be sensitive to God speaking. How can I apply what you're learning today? Did you know you're responsible to God for? Amen? Oh, me? You are. Well, let me just tell you, you're responsible for what you're hearing today. You say, well, you're not that good a teacher. You're still responsible for hearing what you hear. I'm giving you some truth, and you still are responsible for hearing what you're hearing. And we need to be sensitive to what God is saying to us today. Everybody here needs to be sensitive to that. The Bereans, for instance, Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. How were they more noble than those in Thessalonica? They were all saved in that. How? What? They received the word with all readiness of mind. That's what will make you more noble than other Christians. because you received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily, daily. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Most of us who get into a theological discussion with people of other denominations and religions, we can't hold water because we don't study the Bible enough and we don't know how to answer them, and we just say, well, I don't know what to do. God help them, or something like that. We need to know what we believe, and we need to be able to back it up with Scripture and turn to it and deal with it and help those people out. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God will bless you if you'll hear the word, do the word. Now, they're passive hearers. After 40 years, you have people in our churches who have been in church 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, and you say, we need a Sunday school teacher. And they say, I can't teach. I don't know the Bible good enough. I would be ashamed to say that, right? Now, we're plowing pretty close this morning, aren't we? But I'm just telling you, if you've been in church any length of time, you ought to know the Bible well enough, you could take a class and teach that class. And if nothing else, keep learning while you're teaching it. But there are people who are absolutely spiritually ignorant after 40 years and 30 years in our churches. And they say, why don't you teach a class? Why don't you do a Bible study? I just don't know the Bible good enough. Well, learn it. Get to where you know the Bible better. And they people come to services. They never give it a second thought. They do not listen aggressively. What if God wrote you a letter? I got a letter here from God, you know. What if God wrote you a letter? And it said your name here, and over here it said God, from God. Do you think you'd wait till, if you got it at 1 o'clock in your mail, you'd wait till the evening news to read it? Or wait till you're sleepy and going to bed when you don't know if you can read through it or not? What would you do? Man, you'd take that out and say, God sent me a letter. Man, look at this. It's, dear Brother Weaver, here it is. Here's my letter. And all that, and here's signed, Jehovah God. Man, would I be excited about that. Well, here it is right here. God has sent us a letter, and he signed it, and it's for us to read, amen? And we ought to be as excited about this book as we would be if we got a letter in the mail from God today from the United States Post Office. So we need to open it reverently and read every comment. You wouldn't read through this quickly and say, what'd God say? I don't know. I don't know what he said. I saw one or two sentences in there. No, you'd read it line by line, precept upon precept, and you'd say, man, I want to get that. I want to get what God said. And that's what we ought to do with this book. We ought to spend great hours in the Word of God, and I submit to you a lot of Christians are not doing that. We ought to read it deliberately over and over again and put it, when you get through, if you got a letter from God, you wouldn't throw it in a garbage can. You'd put it in a precious place. You'd say, boy, I want to reread that. I'm going to put that in my special file, the red file. I'm going to put that in that file, pull it out tomorrow and read it again. And that's the way we ought to do with the Word of God. The Bible is that letter. Then we ought to listen intently. Truth that shapes us. Matthew 7:24. You can read that later. I don't have time to read it now. And then secondly, that we may be conformed to the truth, that we may comprehend the truth. But knowing the truth is not the thing. We've got to be conformed to the truth. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. God wants all of us to be like Jesus. More like Jesus every day. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we need to conform to the truth. And that means there should be a response to truth. A response to truth. And our response is either we'll yield to it or we will refuse the truth. We'll refuse or yield to the truth. And then God doesn't speak to entertain us. Why does he speak? To conform us. God doesn't just want to entertain us. He wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. James 1, 24 and 25, and 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. You can read those so I can finish up here. And then thirdly, communicate the truth. How do we do that? We need to communicate the truth. He wants to show it to us, give it to us, learn it, so we can communicate it or share it with others. And one of the best ways we can do that is with the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, the end of the world. All right? In Acts 1:8, he gave the Holy Spirit for communication. So we need to share the Great Commission. How we communicate? How do we communicate what we've learned? By what we say and do. By what we say and do. By what we say and do. And then secondly, by what we don't say and what we don't do. For instance, an illustration, a dad with his son doesn't tithe, and he's talking to his son and he says, well, we have too many bills and I can't tithe. And that's a bunch of baloney. We have too many bills and I can't tithe. Here's what he's communicating to his son. He's communicating, you can't trust God with money. You can't trust God with money. You think you can outgive God, you can't. The best way to get out of debt, start tithing. Say, I can't tithe because I'm in debt. Start tithing. Try it. You'll thank me for it. And maybe a dad that never reads his Bible, what does he communicate to his children or a grandparent? What do they communicate to them? I'm smarter than God. I can get along without the wisdom of God. I can live my life without God's wisdom. Or a dad that never prays, he's communicating to his children, fellowship with the Father is not important. Husbands don't pray with their wives. Wives don't pray with their husbands. Families don't pray with their families. And we're communicating to them in our silence of certain things. Fellowship is not important. The opposite of that, of course, is to communicate with God. Peter communicated in silence, and Barnabas was affected by that, and you can read that about it in Galatians 2:13. And Peter's actions said it all. He communicated in silence, and it wasn't a good communication. So, are we comprehending the Word of God? The conclusion. Are we comprehending the Word of God? And secondly, if we are we conforming to the Word of God? That's where a lot of the problem lies. And then are we communicating to others the Word of God? That is truth. So a good thing for us to ask God today is to make you more aggressive as a hearer of the Word of God. Is there any truth you're not conforming to today? Be an aggressive hearer. Ask God to help you communicate the truth to others. Thank you, Lord, for this precious letter of 66 books written by you through the Holy Spirit as you use human authors, your letters to us. Help us to spend much time in it, to learn it, and to practice it, and then to communicate it. In Jesus' name, amen.